The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are those of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of 1480 KPHX or our sponsors.
Welcome back to Season 2. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix 1480 AM, Nova M Radio 1480kphx.com, our audio archives, which in Season 2 remain free and open to the public 24/7, are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. That's www.exopoliticsradio.com. I am your host, Alfred Weber. And yes, you did hear correctly. This is Season 2 of Exopolitics Radio, an historical occasion, folks. As you know, Exopolitics Radio burst into the scene on Saturday, March 10th, 2007, what we call the Cosmic Trigger, on the 10th anniversary, our 10th anniversary show of the Phoenix Lights, when the 2-mile-wide spacecraft, witnessed by over 10,000 persons in Phoenix, Arizona, including then-Governor Fife Symington, who took 10 years to come out of the closet and admit publicly that he did, which he did so in the week following the premiere of Exopolitics Radio. And in the week following that, the self-styled First Nation France came forth and made public its top-secret extraterrestrial UFO files. And 6 weeks later after that, on May 2nd, 2007, the UK came forth with its files. And that's why we call Exopolitics Radio the Cosmic Trigger. Well, we're now starting Season 2 of Exopolitics Radio. And as is usual, Exopolitics Radio is just in time. And today we have a very, very vital program with you. Our guest will be Stephen Bassett, our Washington-based Exopolitics Radio commentator. This season we'll be going deep into the body politic of the United States, of North America, of planet Earth, and infusing it with the cosmic energy of knowledge about extraterrestrial society and what extraterrestrials have been saying, advanced ethical, upper dimensional extraterrestrial civilizations have been saying about how to bring planet Earth through the challenges of this difficult moment when we are targeted by so many negative forces who wish to depopulate the human race, who wish to denude the environment of planet Earth, our living Gaia, who wish to exterminate all living species of flora and fauna on planet Earth, and how we bring planet Earth into a new upper dimensional home within extraterrestrial civilization. Our official Exopolitics Radio commentary today is based on an article that myself, your host, has just written and will be published in the San Francisco Bayview, which has been selected and voted as the leading African-American newspaper in the United States. And the Oxford American Dictionary defines martial law as military government involving the suspension of ordinary law. And the title of this article, which is appearing momentarily, it'll be posted up on www.exopolitics.com. And also, if you Google San Francisco Bayview, you'll be able to get this article. It's entitled A Civil Defense Mini Manual to Resisting and Defeating Illegal Occupation by Martial Law, : How to Use Martial Law Against the Dummies. I'll just read the first couple of paragraphs so you get a sense of this, which is what I think the advanced extraterrestrials were trying to tell us, if you recall, through the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communication in the Chicago O'Hare sighting of November 7th, 2006, which was the midterm election date of the United States, where the neocons lost control of both houses of the U.S. of Congress. They were warning that elections are key, that elections are key, that the electoral process is key. Keep your eye on the ball, Americans. Get involved in the body politic. Get involved in your elections. It's not something that you can allow only 50% of the people or 40% of the people to be involved in and assume that it's going to go on. Let me read from the first two paragraphs of this article. A matrix of martial law legislations and executive orders of the Bush administration is now in place for the abolition of constitutional democracy, the relocation, incarceration, and depopulation of the North American public, and the illegal expropriation of its property. The matrix, what we can call the depopulation matrix, is designed to be activated by a false flag state terror attack against a major urban center in the U.S., possibly using nuclear or biological weapons. Those of you who do not believe or understand this, simply reframe the Hurricane Katrina experience in New Orleans, in which the poor, lower-income African-American population of that area was targeted for the abolition of constitutional democracy, the relocation, incarceration, and depopulation of its public, and the illegal expropriation of its property. New Orleans is a city that, by and large, has been relocated, incarcerated, and depopulated, and its property illegally expropriated. I say that as a member of a family whose ancestors go back to the 17th century in Louisiana, in New Orleans, that is the 1600s. So I don't say that lightly. Hurricane Katrina was a test case, which was an instance of environmental warfare against the United States. It was a false flag operation against the United States, and it was for the purposes of abolishing constitutional government and the relocation, incarceration, and depopulation of the public there and the illegal expropriation of the property. We're now moving into a second phase. And what's the relevant of exopolitics? Well, this is a scorched earth policy such that the people of Earth are being held captive and are being held hostage and are being set up for a nuclear war, a worldwide false flag nuclear war, as was warned by advanced extraterrestrial ambassadors who met with President Dwight D. Eisenhower in February 1954, which you recall we've had a number of programs here on Exopolitics Radio with Dr. Michael Sala discussing the ins and outs of this. Now, what are some of the specific statutes that make up the depopulation legal matrix so that we can begin to understand that the depopulation legal matrix, this is a legal matrix, it's like a cage that has been placed around the body politic of the United States, and not only the United States, but North America, which includes La República Federal de México, Mexico, Los Estados Unidos de América, the United States of America, y Canadá, Canada, because the official languages of North America are both English and Spanish. So, under the North American Union Security and Prosperity Partnership, this will be both an English and Spanish speaking North America, including le langue française, qui est la langue officielle de Québec, d'une partie du Canada. In other words, there'll be three languages in North America. But these are some of the, and by the way, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, or North American Union, is just a code word for depopulation. Just like New World Order is just a code word for depopulation. Just like those words over Auschwitz, when you entered the concentration camp, Arbeit macht frei, in German, which makes work makes you free, that was a code word for you walking in here to be gassed. The depopulation legal matrix is itself a false flag operation against our constitutional democracy. There is no functional reason to cancel constitutional democracy and the Bill of Rights in the USA other than the imposition of a police state for the purpose of depopulation. Let's quickly mention a number of the acts and executive orders of the Bush administration. And I say Bush administration because it's orchestrated by George H.W. Bush and administrated by George W. Bush. The U.S. Patriot Act, signed by George W. Bush on October 20th, 2001. The North American Union Security and Prosperity Partnership, signed by the Prime Minister of Canada, the President of the United States, and the President of Mexico on March 23rd, 2005. The Military Commissions Act, signed September 28, 2006, by the President of the United States, George Walker Bush. The John Warner Defense Authorization Act, passed September 30, 2006. The National Security Presidential Directive 51 of May 9, 2007, issued by President George Walker Bush on May 9, 2007. And the executive order blocking property of certain persons who threaten stabilization efforts in Iraq, signed by President George W. Bush on July 17, 2007. This last one is a real doozer. On its face, this executive order grants G.W. Bush the right to seize the property of any person deemed to have threatened the peace in Iraq. It is so vague that peace marchers could be targeted by the order. Yet, given the electoral results of the 2006 midterm election, namely that the people voted out the neocons and demanded an immediate end to the war in Iraq, and evidence suggesting that the occupation by the U.S. and U.K. troops in Iraq is actually destabilizing Iraq and the region, an independent court applying the order could reasonably find that the personal property of George W. Bush, which includes a 98,000-acre ranch in Paraguay over a prime aquifer in that area, which in the 1800s for 100 years was an independent republic run by the Jesuits, and which then was a haven for Nazi war criminals, and is now a 98,000-acre ranch, his next-door neighbor with an even larger acre ranch being the Reverend Sun Young Moon, a known Korean CIA agent and business partner of George H.W. Bush. So they're all in it together. Prescott Bush, George W. Bush's grandfather, having now been implicated as the leader of a coup in 1933, an attempted fascist coup in the United States to overthrow the United States government, involving leading families like the Colgate family, like the J.P. Morgan family. Fortunately, they tried to hire General Butler, who blew the whistle on them. So we have the grandson of a traitor who then went on to be convicted of trading with the enemy during World War II with his bank, that is Prescott Bush, and George W. Bush, issuing this order about person who threatens the state stabilization efforts in Iraq. The only person threatening stabilization in Iraq is George W. Bush. And the U.S. voters prove that. So those are the false flag operation legal matrix that has been set up for depopulation false flag attack, like the 9/11 false flag attack, this time using possibly a nuclear or biological weapon somewhere in a major urban center. Now, we were told by reliable sources within the intelligence community, number one, that there is great struggles going on within the intelligence community in the United States now, and that at least two black operations, two false flag operations within the intelligence community were taken down from the inside by the operation of law. That is the rogue piratical regime of the Bushes, of Prescott Bush, of George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush. That was two of the attempted black operations were taken down and have not occurred. There are other rumors, you know, that keep on occurring, that dirty bombs have been slipped over the Mexican border. And, you know, so that is the depopulation matrix that has been set up. Now, what we set out in this article is the solutions as well. And I want to give you these in this official Exopolitics Radio commentary because I do not want people hanging. And we'll be repeating this message next week in a slightly different form when we'll be back with part two of the interview with Stephen Bassett. Nurture the body politic. The depopulation matrix can be defeated by our taking active part in the body politic, infusing vital popular energy into our constitutional democracy. Become personally involved in the 2008 electoral process on the anti-depopulation matrix platform. There are over 550,000 elected political offices in the USA. Run for office. Work for a candidate at the municipal, county, state, federal level. Aggressively seek removal of U.S. President George W. Bush and Vice President Richard B. Cheney through the constitutional means of Article 2 impeachment or Article 3 prosecution for treason in the 9/11 false flag attack on the USA. Publicize the depopulation matrix existence and attack the constitutionality and legitimacy of its component false flag laws and executive orders at every opportunity in every arena. And finally, create community phone and email trees to coordinate information and resistance in the event of a false flag attack by the Bush administration on the population of the USA. So those are some of the proactive steps. And we have friends who are actually running for office, who are actually becoming involved. And as season two of Exopolitics Radio comes to the fore, we'll be introducing some of these friends to you and interviewing them on Exopolitics Radio and asking them what their goals are and what is leading them to become involved and to bring vital popular energy into our constitutional democracy. Having said that, lay back, put on your seatbelts, get ready to go into hyperspace, get ready to listen to YouTube, because we're about to go into the CNN YouTube debate and hear a YouTube extraterrestrial question from Steve Bassett that was not asked on CNN. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
I'm so afraid.
I need to lose weight. I wish I could stop smoking.
I have so much stress.
I'm in pain.
Why am I sad?
I need to perform better.
I feel like there's no way out.
If you or someone you know needs help making healthy and significant life changes, they may benefit from hypnotherapy and life coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle. Hypnosis uses the power of the subconscious mind for recovery and health. It strengthens your natural psychic abilities. As hypnotherapy removes blocks and clarifies your inner knowledge, it allows you to move forward. Coaching offers a practical framework which strengthens the life changes you desire.
To find out more regarding hypnotherapy, life coaching, exoconsciousness, and how to achieve an integrated, peaceful, healthy, and harmonious state of being, call Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle at 602-615-1485. That's 602-615-1485. Or log on to www.rebeccahardcastle.com.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix, 1480 AM Nova M Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and we're with our special exopolitical commentator in Washington, D.C., Stephen Bassett, who's executive director of EXPAC, the Extraterrestrial Phenomenon Activists Political Action Committee, and the only registered lobbyist in the U.S. Congress on behalf of the extraterrestrial activist research community. As you know, his work has been referenced in, among others, the Washington Post, which on July 8th mentioned Stephen's work on a front page article, in the Washington Times, New York Times, Legal Times, Christian Science Monitor, National Journal, Pravda, London Sunday Times, and many other journals. Stephen was a candidate in 2004 for the U.S. Congress in Maryland on an exopolitics platform. Welcome back, Stephen.
Hello. Good to be with you again.
Well, we're in a crucial season now as far as Washington, D.C., and the health of the body politic of the U.S. is concerned. And this program is on a very interesting proposal that you've put forward called Exopolitics, the ET Ticket. And as many of our listeners know, and if they don't know, we'll let them know that quite recently CNN held a U.S. presidential debate for the Democrats. There'll be one later in September for the Republicans, which had an unusual format. And that is that viewers could pre-send in questions via video on YouTube. And for those of us who watch the debate, there were many creative questions sent in, including by our guest and commentator, you, Stephen. And I would like to start off this program by playing your question to the presidential debate on the air, if that's okay by you.
Oh, sure, of course.
Great. Okay, here we go, folks. This is Stephen Bassett, the EXPAC question, the exopolitics question for the CNN presidential debate, which just took place for the Democrats. Here we go.
I'm Stephen Bassett, the executive director of the Political Action Committee, EXPAC. Recent polls, including Time CNN, have shown that nearly 50% of the American people believe there's an extraterrestrial explanation behind UFO phenomena. Over 80% of the American people believe their government's not telling them the truth about this issue. For each candidate, if you are president of the United States, will you demand a full and comprehensive briefing from the military and civilian intelligence agencies? And will you call for congressional hearings to take the testimony regarding ET phenomena from scores of people who have worked within government and who are prepared to come and testify before Congress right now? Thank you.
This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We're with our guest, Stephen Bassett. I wonder if in this segment, Steve, you could start off by telling us what each of the two candidates on, you published a much heralded article which has been featured on nationwide television in the U.S. and has been referred to on the front page of the Washington Post regarding the ET ticket, kind of a dream ET ticket, which you and I have talked about in prior Exopolitics radio programs, but which now is beginning to surface in the mainstream media. And I wondered if you could, now that we've heard your question, tell us a bit again about what the ET ticket is, who the dream ET ticket people are, and how they would have answered that question just a few days ago on CNN.
All right. Well, within the context of answering the question, let me paint a very important picture for your audience. All of this is a wonderful example of this new reality, this new media, internet, citizen connection that is changing the face of not only politics, but social life in America and everything else. And while the top end of the media, which is very heavily corporate-owned, large corporate-owned and conglomerated, continues to, I think, underperform with respect to coverage of very important issues, underneath it is sort of a boiling cauldron of developments which I think are eventually going to overtake these high-end media. And this is a perfect example. What you have here is, I write an article called The ET Ticket, which essentially did something very simple. It just said, look, I've looked at all 10 candidates on both sides, and I've considered what pairing of candidates from either side, either Republican or Democratic ticket, would be the best for disclosure and why. So I wrote this article, and it's going to be published in the upcoming issue of UFO Magazine and Fate Magazine. But I also published it on my website, and I also published it on the American Chronicle, which is one of these essentially online journalistic operations that produces news as well as allows people to submit their own article. They got over 1,000 columnists. So it's in play, isn't it? All right, okay, fine. So I've got that in play, and then I go on some of the alternative media. I mentioned on Coast to Coast, I've now mentioned on your show a couple of times and some other shows, and it be put into play without any of these big shot networks even getting involved. So that's in play. All right, fine. Then, because it's sort of in play, when the media goes to cover Roswell, I'm able to put it into the mainstream media there in an interview with Fox on July 6th, and then it got picked up by the Washington Post and put into their July 8th front page article. Meanwhile, all right, the CNN, which is part of the new conglomerated media, well, it's part of the expanding media picture, right, cable news, which is certainly a significant change in news coverage from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, decide that they're going to create a YouTube candidate debate. And all the questions were initiated by people around the country through YouTube videos, of which I did submit one of 3,000 that were submitted, which allowed me to potentially get that question literally put to the presidential candidates in that debate. So you have this interconnection between alternative media, second-tier cable media, the internet, YouTube revolution, and so forth, creating the potential to put this issue suddenly at another level. All of this is one of the reasons why the truth embargo itself is on its last legs. It simply cannot sustain this kind of pressure and this kind of interaction with the general public. They're just losing control. And the only option that the real control freaks have that are operating within our government is to somehow bring to heel the entire internet reality. And that would require a very overt and obvious aggressive act on their part, which would, I'm sure, be met by enormous resistance. So they're just not able to do it at this time, and I'm not sure they ever will be. And so the truth embargo is simply going to collapse, if only because of these new media and technological realities. And to punctuate that point, while there were three questions in the 3,000 YouTube submissions that dealt with the ET issue, one from me, X-PAC, and two regarding the Disclosure Project, none were asked. Fine. The other two questions were unfortunately formulated in a way that were very unlikely to be asked, though mine was perfectly acceptable. So it turns out, of course, that CNN is now going to hold a Republican debate using YouTube questions, and I've already resubmitted my question for the Republican debate, which will be scheduled, interestingly enough, on September 17th, the day after the X conference, which is scheduled for September 14 through 16. And, of course, we're going to have a National Press Club press conference on the 17th that morning. And then that evening will be the CNN debate. So I now have 7 weeks to continue to promote this question. Quite a few people have already emailed CNN saying, we need you to ask this question. And the video, which obviously will remain up this entire time, has already gotten, I think, 630 viewings and may have several thousand by the time it's time for the next debate. And so, again, you see how you can get these things out there and then keep them there and work with them and promote them so that the idea that this issue is just going to go away or they can continue to dance around it and pretend it's not there is simply no longer the case. Now, to get to the nut of this, the ET ticket was not intended to be an endorsement of any candidate for president. It was simply my opinion of which two candidates were the strongest in terms of a disclosure event. And those two candidates happened to be Hillary Clinton and Bill Richardson, who were in the Democratic debate, which is why I was so eager to see that question asked. You can bet your bottom dollar that Bill and Hillary, and I love saying that, of course I'm referring to Richardson in this case, have already been told by their staff about this article, ET ticket, and are probably none too pleased about it. Though I think Richardson might not care, might even like it. So it wasn't asked, but that was the article, and the reasons. There are extensive reasons for this, and I could go on for a long time in a very few words. Hillary Clinton, who obviously is the leading candidate for president of the United States right now from either side, along with a chief advisor to her husband, John Podesta, were big players in the White House during Bill Clinton's entire term, particularly in the early years. And it was during those early years, from March of 93 through the end of 95, that Lawrence Rockefeller had approached the administration via the Executive Office of Science and Technology Policy section, run by Dr. John Gibbons. He wanted to meet with the president. He wanted to send him a report and a letter. And the gist of it all was he wanted Clinton to release all the ET and UFO-related documents, which, if that were done, would end the truth embargo. So essentially, he was asking him to be the disclosure president. More importantly, and we have the proof of all that. We have actually the documents, the letters, exchange, the meeting reports, the studies that were put together. We got it all. So if anybody wants to deny it, they're making a huge mistake. All of that was obtained through FOIA requests filed by a number of people, most prominently Grant Cameron of Canada, of all places. And furthermore, we also have articles, newspaper articles, that confirm that President Clinton and Hillary visited Rockefeller's ranch in 94, 95, and I think also 93. So at the very same time that Rockefeller was making this initiative to the administration, he had an opportunity to talk with him privately at his ranch in Wyoming. And I think only, I can't imagine anybody that would even dare to make the case that Rockefeller then wouldn't have privately talked with them about his effort in that regard, the ET issue, that they would suddenly, that would be not be on the table for discussion. It would be ridiculous. So Hillary Clinton is fully aware that there is not only a disclosure issue out there, but there's an ET issue that's yet unresolved. And her husband took some actions during administration, which are well known. The Webster-Hubble request to look into the ET issue, his authorization of John Podesta to, though not specifically UFO-related, to revise the classification schema for documents so that they could dump millions of documents out and start loosening up, you know, the vast library of stuff that they're spending a fortune keeping secret, unnecessarily so, and John Podesta did exactly that. And then, of course, John Podesta then later went on to not only confirm that he had done that, but also state publicly at two press conferences that he felt the records, that UFO-related documents needed to be dumped out and given to the public, exactly what Lawrence Rockefeller wanted. And he did this in 2002, 2003, just before the 2004 election, which I think he and everyone else thought the Democrats would win. So essentially, Podesta's out of the closet. He's still a major, major Democratic operative, the founder of the progressive think tank, Center for American Progress, and almost certainly a player in the next Democratic administration. So, and Hillary, obviously, is fully aware of Podesta's activities. So Hillary Clinton clearly has the potential to be the disclosure president and knows what's going on. And then, of course, Bill Richardson is very interesting on several levels. One, he was the head of the Department of Energy, and the whole energy issue, alternative energy, global warming, and the extremely interesting question of how much ET technology development have we been able to undergo since 47 using the crash vehicles that we've been re-engineering and working on for decades. And we've got a lot of evidence confirming that. So he's a guy that knows energy. He's also was the ambassador to the UN, so he has experience in an international arena. And he's no less than the governor of New Mexico, which is, of course, where Roswell is. And for that reason, when the Roswell Diggs Diaries, a book based upon a sci-fi documentary, was published, he was asked to do the foreword. And in that foreword, he states that he didn't think the Roswell explanation has been given yet. The government's explanation is not satisfactory. Interesting statement by a presidential candidate. And that the information should be gathered up and given to the American people. So he's outed himself. He's out of the closet on the issue, and he is a presidential candidate. More importantly, he is the leading contender for the vice presidential ticket spot. So as it happens, the ET ticket is not simply the best ticket for disclosure in my view. It happens to be, coincidentally, the most likely ticket to emerge from the Democratic Party. In fact, it's in terms of being able to predict any ticket at all, either side, Republican or Democrat, the Richardson-Clinton ticket would have the best odds, right? If this is a horse race, they would have the best odds. So that's non-trivial, and that's what the ET ticket article was about, and it has resonated very well. I'm getting all kinds of interview requests. I'm doing 7 interviews this week. And again, it was picked up in the Washington Post. In addition to mentioning Hillary and Richardson as the ET ticket in that article, it also quoted me as saying that based on the actions of Podesta and Clinton's and Richardson and other things that I have watched and noticed, that I strongly suspect that the Democrats may be working and gearing up for a disclosure event in the early months of a Democratic administration in 2009. That was in the Washington Post. Now, this is extremely important because the Washington Post front page is not picked out of a barrel, unlike the other sections of a mainstream daily, like the Sports and Style and Business and what have you, which are essentially run by the editor of that section, meaning the Style section editor pretty much decide what goes on the front page of those sections. The front page of a major daily is actually approved by a committee of editors. And nothing goes on the front page of a major paper unless that committee signs off on it. And this is the political paper of America. I think most people would agree that the Washington Post is the political paper of record in the United States. So they allowed significant political content referring to Richardson, a major vice presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, the leading presidential candidate, the Democratic Party, the ET issue, my political action committee by name, in that article on the front page. That they signed off on that means that there has been some kind of a change of policy at the Washington Post. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on and why people need to start actually taking this seriously and understand that they have a window of opportunity here. So if they go to paradigmresearchgroup.org and go to the PRG main site, they will see this YouTube question there. They can review it. And there's a link to CNN where they can simply click that and send them an email and say, look, we want this question asked. Right? I mean, if you look at the 40 questions or so that were asked on Monday night, there's a good 8 or 9 of them where you're going, what the hell was that asked for? I mean, it was just irrelevant. It was not significant. And that this question was passed up. So they're going to have another chance to put it in play on September the 17th. And the people need to state, look, anybody who thinks that the ET issue is not significantly important enough for a presidential candidate to address is living in a parallel universe. They're not living in this universe. And that if they want it to be addressed, they're going to have to demand it. And if 4,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 people were to email CNN and say, we want this question asked, I think it's pretty likely that they'll ask it. And it will be a most interesting moment in American history, to be honest with you, because the candidates are going to have to, they can blow it off. They can laugh like hell and say that's a stupid question, in which case they can expect 100,000 nasty emails. Or they can simply say, I don't know anything about it. I'm as dumb as a brick on this issue, in which case they will deal with that. Or they can say, I think this is worth consideration, and I will ask for a briefing. This is where we're at. And unless the powers that be can find a way to step through all of this and not get their feet muddy, then I think that this intersection, this moment, this special moment where this issue finally confronts the political leadership in America in an irrevocable and inescapable way, thus bringing the thing to a head, is right there, right in front of us. It can happen at any moment. And I am dedicated, and I think my colleagues are dedicated, that we are simply not going to go through 16 more months of presidential campaigning on the part of 10, 15, 20 candidates at the dozens of debates that are coming up, and they are going to dance around and avoid this issue for the 60th year in a row, thinking, oh, gee, I'm going to become president of the United States, but I sure won't talk about this because it's embarrassing or awkward or somebody might make a joke, right? Like, that's the measure of a president, meaning, you know, God knows, I want to be president, but I sure don't want to risk being embarrassed. I mean, come on, folks. Anybody that doesn't have the courage to address this issue in a straightforward manner has absolutely no business to be president of the United States, or the first black president of the United States, or the first Hispanic president of the United States, or the first woman president of the United States. They are not qualified to be president because they're insulting our intelligence.
Well, talking about the ET issue, what place or what role do you think the following concept plays in the equation? What we can call the anti-ET false flag operation, i.e. creating a false flag operation in which ETs are demonized in order to open up a new chapter in the arms race in space. This is a specific danger that Dr. Wernher von Braun reportedly warned Dr. Carl Rosen about. She gave it as her disclosure project testimony at the National Press Club. Even the Honorable Paul Hellyer spoke about this, that the U.S. Space Command, according to him, may be, and perhaps already has, begun to place weapons in space in order to create a state of hostilities or a false flag event. And when you stated that the Bush administration would move forward with disclosure, what came to my mind initially, and we're just about out of time here, so I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on this, and we have maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
Sure. Look, let's be clear what a false flag operation is. A false flag operation is a staged event, implies it's a staged event by a government to create the basis for some governmental action, usually draconian, often war-related. It's one of the most insidious things any government can ever do, and history is replete with them or rumors of them. It's rumored that our government sort of allowed an attack on Honolulu to create. So it wasn't a false flag event, but it was an engineered event to some degree. If that's true, it's a very bad thing. There's rumors that the Maine was blown up by our side in order to justify the Spanish-American War. We don't know. It was rumored that the Nazis started the Reichstag fire in order to establish a basis for them to move to take over that government. There are false flag accusations with respect to 9-1-1. False flag was associated with the Tonkin events that helped facilitate the war.
I'm going to jump in here. We're going to have to ask you back for another program to complete this. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Well, there you have it, our inaugural program for Season 2 of Exopolitics Radio. Exopolitics Radio is a weekly program devoted to examining the relations between our human civilization and extraterrestrial civilizations. And if there's anything that extraterrestrial civilizations are signaling to us now, we believe, is the urgency, the absolute urgency of we humans becoming involved with our planet, with our society. And we think that that's the message of Chicago O'Hare and the midterm election of 2006. Become involved. It's very urgent. We have two directions. America can either continue and go into a true constitutional democracy, a sustainable, cooperative, peaceful, space-age society, or we can become the victims of martial law, an imposed military government through a false flag operation attack, which is leading to a depopulation matrix of transportation, relocation, incarceration, depopulation, and expropriation. The choice is up to us. Nurture the body politic. It's urgent that you get involved. This is Exopolitics Radio, which is produced by Phoenix Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX Progressive Talk Phoenix and the Nova M Network. Executive producer Richard Romero Sr., director RV Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. May you have a wonderful, miracle-filled, and urgent martial law defeating day, week, and life. Thank you.